start with a Ha'orah from the Sefer Teres of Rome. Teres of Rome was Rabbi Rob Grudzinski, who was the last Mashkiach of Slobodsky Yeshiva in Europe. He was killed by the Nazis in Achshbon. Hashem Yikum Domoy. Also, somewhat, well, better known to us possibly through his sons-in-law, Rav Kreisworth, Rav Volba, and Rabbi Yaman Kamenetsky. So, those names may be more familiar with that. So the Teres of Rome has a Ha'ora that if we look at Sefer Shmos, which is labeled by the Ramban as Sefer HaGeula, Api Chazal, just as a Maimer Musker, I just find it fascinating. This is totally a Maimer Musker. I just find it fascinating that the Latin names of the that they give to the five Chumashim are much more on target with how Chazal and the saw the Sorim than the way we call them Bereishis Shmos, where you cover them in the Morim, let's say, just take a word, etc. But the Mishnah Torah is the way Chazal referred to the Morim, that's called in Latin Deuteronomy. Deutero is two and Nomi is law, it's the second law, Mishnah Torah. Chamesh HaPekudim, the B'midbar is called, it's the book of the countings, numbers. Leviticus is the laws of the Levites, it's Torah Kahanim. Sefer Gula is Exodus, and Sefer Yetzirah is Bereishis, so which is Genesis. So it's called Exodus for a reason. So it's called Sefer HaGeula. So Ramban points to Sefer HaGeula, and he explains that it's obvious to us when we talk about being referred to Sefer HaGeula. So said Parshas. Parsha Shmos starts the process. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, then Ve'era and Bo. Obviously, we have the Makkos and the actual Yitzhak and Parsha's Bo. We have a Kriyas Yamsuf, and finally Klai Yisrael comes to Matan Torah, which is Moshe Rabbeinu was told that that's the purpose of the whole Yitzhak. When Ramban grapples with why are the parshas of the Melechus and Mishkan, of the Binyan and Mishkan, why are they included in Sefer Shmos? I think I mentioned this to you once, that logic would be that they should really be connected to Sefer Vayikra. Mishkan really is the vehicle for the Karbonis, and since Sefer Vayikra is the Sefer of the Karbonis, we would sort of either put, if for whatever reason the Mishkan belongs in Sefer Shmos, so the Karbonis, which are part of the Mishkan, will also belong in Sefer Shmos. And if you tell me the main point is the Karbonis, so then all of the story of the Mishkan belongs in Sefer Vayikra. But why do we divide it that we have that the Binyan of Mishkan and the last pasuk in Sefer Shmos ends off that the Kodesh Hashem is Malei as a Mishkan, and we don't read it in these terms. So Moshe Rabbeinu can't. The pasuk says the last parsha. He couldn't go in because of the onan which was there, and the Russian called him in and called him in. So Vayikra really is a total hemshik of the last pasuk of Sefer of Parshas Pekudei of the last pasuk in which Moshe couldn't come in until the Russian called him in. So, like, here's where you stop, cut the story. She says that the Gula is only completed when the Kleisel goes back to the Mila of the Abbas. We're not totally redeemed if we go back to where we were. We know by the Abbas that the Onan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled over their oil. There was Shekhinah there that. Klai Yisrael has now come back to that Madrego, and the Psukim talk about that the Onan is there, and then we've finished the process of Gula. Now, what do you do with that is Vayikra with the Karbonis. That's how he understands it. So Rav Ram just has the Ha'ara that the first half of Parsha Shmos, which is the Shibud, what exactly is its role vis-a-vis Geula? So you can say it's the backdrop which allows Geula. You can't have Geula till you have the opposite of the Geula. The Ramin was told that So we have, as it were, a gray area. If the first Sefer is Sefer Yetzirah, so Sefer Yetzirah is the creation of the world, it's also the Obis, because they act as the root and the foundation of Klal Yisro, so they are an element of Yetzirah for Klal Yisro. So Yosef is an extension, Yosef is seen to be an extension of Yaakov, because he's also somebody like an Av. Klal Yisro is called Hashem Yosef. Hashem is Yosef, and Klal Yisro is called Hashem Yosef. So he's also, when Yosef dies, Yetzirah is ended. Capital Gimel, where Moshe Rabbeinu was called, Gula starts, and there's two capitals in the middle, which, you know, we got to fit him in somewhere, so we stick him in over here. You have in the Haggadah Maskel Gula Mashayim Bishrach, that you don't understand the Shevach unless you have the contrast to what was. Okay. It says unless you could argue that there's something, maybe there's something more to the role of the Shibud in the Gula itself. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu plays the role of the individual which is designated to be the person is going to be the one who takes Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim. The Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu was specifically created for that purpose. The Rambam uses the lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu created Moshe and he sent him. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu was created in a way which was different than the average person, that he was able to do this role, and the Rosh sent him. Now Moshe Rabbeinu we see Moshe Rabbeinu playing many roles. He is the individual which is going to be the take Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim. He's going to be the vehicle between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu of Matan Torah. And those are two different roles. I mean, originally, the Nesinas HaTorah was going to be directed from Kadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had no role in that. He wasn't the individual who was through him the Torah was given. His job was the Gula. The Rosh was going to give the Torah. The Rosh gave the Torah. But the Maaseh, Moshe Rabbeinu plays this role at the end of being playing that intermediary between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu for Nesinas HaTorah. Both B'shas Matan Torah and later on, by the Rosh Moshe Leimor, Rosh spoke to Moshe, and Moshe then went in the Oil Moyed. It's still through Moshe Rabbeinu, not direct to Klal Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu then played the role of the manig of Klal Yisro in the Midbar, which that clearly, quote unquote, wasn't the role that was given to him, because Klal Yisro wasn't supposed to stay in the Midbar. They were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael immediately. He would have played some role in Eretz Yisrael, whatever that, as the leader of Klal Yisrael. So we see, let's say, for argument's sake, three distinct roles from Moshe Rabbeinu. We have the role that he's the goyel, that he's the shliach for Nesinas HaTorah, and he is the manig of Klal Yisrael in the midbar. We get a story. The Torah gives us Moshe Rabbeinu's biography. Which means that the Torah wants to describe Moshe Rabbeinu to help us understand how he's to fulfill these roles. So the Pesukim say that so they saw, Rashi says that the whole house came full of aura. So it means that he definitely was born in a unique way. That's one thing we need to know about Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you read the biography of the Vilna Gaon, and they tell you, like, you know, when he was, you know, he was 2 years old, he was ready, you know, knew all of Alabes, and he's ready learning Chumash, etc., etc. So, good, the first thing, you know, he was a wonder child. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the house is full of art. We have the whole story of Bas Harai, and then, he's taken to be raised in base power. So the Ibn Ezra says to be the individual is going to be the melech of Klal Yisrael, the manig of Klal Yisrael. He needs to learn tachsisei melucha. He needs to learn how to act as a melech. What better place to teach him how to do that in the case of in the house of the melech itself? So he's raised in the house of the melech. Vayhi bayomer Rabbi Mahem, bayomer Mahem, vayigdal Moshe v'yitzei lachov, vayarbe tziv l'yisom. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes out. So the Rashi touches on it, the Medrash talks about more strongly. Moshe Rabbeinu chose to leave the palace to go out to see what was happening with them. So Rashi says, he focused on them. And we're presented with the story of the Ish Mitzri, etc. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and he convinced Paro to give Klal Yisrael a day off. Shabbos, they didn't have to work on Shabbos. Through Moshe Rabbeinu's, he said that if you don't give it to him, to them, that they can't survive with this pressure that they have. They won't be able to survive. They're going to wear out. You get better work out of them if you give them a day off. His kavana was to give them a chance to rest a little bit. Okay. Then we have Moshe Rabbeinu has to run away. He comes to Midian, and there's somebody who's in a difficult situation, and Moshe Rabbeinu steps up. The matter says that Vayashka Tzoynom, which passes is going on the Tzoyn of the daughters of Yisroi, says Vayakam Moshe Vayoshion, with the nun at the end. Vayashka Tzoynom, he didn't say Tzoynon. Right. So he said, referring to he actually gave water to all of the royim also, besides the Benos Yisrael. Good politics, right? If you want to, you came into this place, you're a total stranger, and you step in, you start telling people he's with Menuga for a reason, and you're a stranger, you're running away, you're a fugitive, you're a stranger, and you run to the, you come in, you know, and you keep a low profile. No. He steps in. They're going to. Where are you coming from? What are you doing? Why are you here? The story. Yeah? Well, we'll send you back to Mitzrayim. They don't like that he's coming in getting involved in their internal conflicts. So he caught that as well. He was able to. He did for them as well. Okay. So we're given, the Torah is describing the biography of Moshe Rabbeinu. The purpose of that is to understand why he's going to be the individual chosen to be the one who's going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had a second role, which is Matan Torah. He's going to end up being the individual through which he's the vehicle that Torah is given to Klal Yisrael. So within the understanding of the person who's the Klal Yisrael, we understand this person, he cares about them, he goes out, he reaches out to them, he gets involved even though it's not comfortable, it's not safe, but he does it anyway. Those are all things which make a lot of sense to be the person who's the manik of Klal Yisrael, to be the person who's going to be the goyel and take Klal Yisrael out of its source, yes. To be the one who's going to be the Nosin HaTorah, at first glance, we don't necessarily see how this would be descriptive of why Moshe Rabbeinu, what was special and unique about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he could be the individual who's able to be the one who can give, through him, the Torah can be given. The Mishnah says in Ovis that there are Memches Devorim Shatar Niktis Mehem. And and it's an interesting mixture of different types of things. Some of them we do not take great effort to understand why those are something which would be beneficial for understanding of absorbing Torah, being kind of Torah. Right? So that Talmud Shmias Oizen, Rechus Sosayim, Bina Salev, Sichus Salev, etc. Behema Beir, Banaba Besimcha, Betahara, Shimish Chachamim, Diktu Chaverim. We get that, okay? Mikra Mishnah, Mitzchara. Talk about other things. Amunas Chachamim. Then we get involved in that a person is he's Ohuv, Oivus Amokim, Oivus Abrius, Oivus Estakas, Meshardim, Techachas, Noisibolim Chaveroi. So then Mesiyash will leave a Talmudai, Sherlo Meshiv. So it's the flow of the Mishnah is very interesting. We go from things which are, we see a direct connection to them, to the world of learning, to things which are the Midas, which might be in some way help the process of learning. The person has Eim and Yira, he has a Novan and Simcha, he has Tahara. Those things, having those things will allow him to be able to be makabel from others, give over to others appropriately, etc. Then we get ones which seem to be that they're Beradim L'chaveroi. That seems to be he's Oivis Amokim, he's Oivis Abrius, Oivis Atsakis, he's Nesibal L'chaveroi, Merkriel L'chavskus, Mamira L'sholim. And then it's actually but Talmudai, Sherlem Meshiv, Shemeya Moisif. Okay. He sort of go back to things which are directly Torah connected, learning connected. So simply, I wanted to just focus on the midah of Noisa Bolim Chaver. So Noisa Bolim Chaver, the Marah, when he says over here, he sees that these four Noisa Bolim Chaver, Makril Chavschus, Mamid Al Emes, Mamid Al Shalom, are really one unit. He sees these four as one unit. Rashi says over here by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Nosu Balim Chaveroi. He was Nosu Enemeli Boedlius Meitzer Daigo Meitzer Aleim. So this is the definition of Nosu Balim Chaveroi, that I share your burden. It doesn't say necessarily lighten your burden. I don't have a way to lighten your burden, but I just share it with you. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not in any way really diminish their burden by going out and being he felt bad for them. Right? We have this one individual he saved, etc. But you know, so he Chazal say he took off his royal garments and he put his shoulder to the task as well. So he helped, you know, one Jew, 10 Jews, 20 Jews. I mean, there's millions of Yidden working. If you do the math, the amount of people which are working, because I'll say, you know, that one-fifth came out. See, if you argue, leaving out the women and the children for a second, you know, 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, you add in the men younger than that, the people older than that, because I don't think the Mitzrayim gave retirement rights at the age of 60, right? So let's say, for argument's sake, I don't know, let's say a million, so there's 5 million Jews working, right? 1 million came out, four-fifths stayed behind. There's another matter that says it was one-fiftieth. So there's 50 million Jews which are working. Moshe Rabbeinu helped 5 of them. Ah, Kabbalik. That wasn't the point. The point wasn't that they diminished the burden, but that he cared. He was nice to bowl. I mean, it doesn't mean that you change it, it's just that you care. Showing that you care, that is already an accomplishment. And that we see in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that this is part of one of the elements which a person needs to be kind of Torah. The child is why? How do we understand it? Rav Ram in the Taurus of Ram, I'm going back to that first point. He says the following. There's a Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that there's a discussion between Antoninus, the Roman Emperor Antoninus, and Rebbe. Antoninus asked Rebbe, at what point in the development of a child, which is being born, does the Yetzirah enter into the child? And the question was, is it Bishas Yetzirah, the time when the child is conceived? Or is it Bishas Yitzir, when the child leaves the mother and comes out to this world? So Rebbe said it's Bishas Yitzir. The Yetzirah is a intrinsic integral part of the being. It goes in Bishas Yitzir. So Zina said back, Yimkein Boi Bima B'Yotzei. He'll be Boi Bima. He'll kick through and come out. So Rebbe said, you're right. It's only when of Shas Yitzia, and that's from the Pasuk, the Pesach Chatas Rebates, that the Yetzihara is waiting, the Pesach, to the after Pesach of the Rechem, then the Yetzihara is waiting. That's the Gemara. So let's be Mizbanan in this Gemara. So the Yetzihara comes to this child, if the Yetzihara would be in the child from time Yitzira, and he says, you know, let's go. Let's kick out over here and get out. So the Yetzihara has to have a sales pitch. What's the Yetzihara sales pitch? Says it's better out there, because I'll say that's not true. The Maranita says that he recalls Yarchi Kedem, the months of yore. Says, where's the time? It's only months and not years. The 9 months of the child's in his mother's stomach. Because I'll say there's no point in time in a person's life that he's shari b'tayva, he's in such goodness as he is during those 9 months. He has ability to see from Sebel Hatzofai, he learns Kol Tarkula, all of his needs are taken care of, right? Doesn't do anything. So there's no point in a child's life better than during those 9 months. So the Yetzer can't sell him it's nicer outside, because it's not. Okay? Now what happens when the child comes out? So he dies, because he's not ready to come out yet. So let's understand the Yetzer itself. He says, listen, over here it's wonderful, there's nothing better like this. If you go out, you're going to die. Let's go. The guy says, yeah, let's go. Like, so what's the Yetzer selling? So Yetzer is selling independence. It's selling not to be confined. We have our version of this in an extreme way. You have we'll call it a rebellious teenager, you know, which this conversation takes place all the time. You know, the parent tells the child, or the Rebbe, or the authority figures tells the child not to do something. He says, listen, if you wouldn't have told me not to do it, I would have done it, because it's not good for me. But now you tell me I'm going to do it just to show you you can't tell me what to do. Right? That's the stupidest thing in the world, right? That's exactly what this Yetzer is. Yeah, it's horrible out there. I'm going to die. But don't make me be confined that I can't go out there. I want to go wherever I want to go. But what the Gemara is saying is this is such a basic Yetzer Hara that this sales pitch will resonate with this child who sees. He sees clarity. He sees the world clearly. There's something which Chazal refers to as Yedei Rabbeinu Miskabel Limribay. Like, Yedei Rabbeinu doesn't mean, you know, he has book knowledge. It means it's lots of Yedei, which means he has an intimate understanding that the Baruch Hashem is the master. So what do you mean that the person has an intimate understanding of the Baruch Hashem, and he's miskabel limribay? I totally understand it. I get it. I intuit it. It's clear to me in every which way. And I don't want. He says, this was the chet of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon's challenge was that Adam Rishon saw Kadosh Baruch Hu with a clarity which nobody else ever got that clarity. He was the Yetzer Kapov. He sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu clearly, that he belongs totally to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, I want to be Kelukim. I want to be like God. God has independent existence. He has intrinsic existence. I want that too. I want to have my own existence. Because our most basic need is to exist. We want to feel that we exist. People, you know, build these memorials for themselves because we don't want to be not as if we never existed. Right? Don't forget us. Right? A person feels like, you know, nobody notices that, nobody cares if I'm here or not. And they commit suicide because, like, nobody cares that I'm here. Like, why is it told me somebody? I want to feel that I'm here. So I get it from these people who tell me that I'm here. Well, nobody tells me so. I'm not here, so might as well get out of it ready. The Yetzer comes to Adam Rishon and he says, he can't sell Adam Rishon, he doesn't sell him on any other argument other than you will have your own existence. The reality is, it's the opposite. When you submit, you become part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is intrinsic existence. When you don't, you cause death. You lose existence. But the Yetzer comes along and says, I don't know, but when you make your own decision, and you decide what to do, you then are real. If you go back to your teenager, you ask him what he's, that's what he'll be telling you. Klai Yisrael needs to be Mekabel Torah. The purpose of Geula is not freedom. Right? The halal that we say, celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Halu Avdei Hashem. As I'll say, look, Avdei Parah. We used to be Avdei Parah, now we're Avdei Hashem. The goal is not to be free. The goal is to be Avdei Hashem. So Geula is becoming Avdei Hashem. We have a problem. The Jews are as the Chazal says, Klaus is the Ashab Umis. It's the most brazen of all. it's the nation which refuses to submit the most. So how do you make Kabbalah Torah? Put them through Shiva Mitzrayim. Put them through a process of learning to accept the yoke. And in that training process of learning to accept the yoke of Paro, maybe they'll be able to then transfer it and say, we'll accept the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Geula is impossible without the process of Klai Yisrael going through Avos, because Geula is that forging that relationship with the Mishkan in Klai Yisrael. Means Klai Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu become one. They cannot do that if they can't submit. They're learning to submit over here. So, and he doesn't say that. Same as that, you know, Ibn Ezra, you know, accuses Klai Yisrael of a slave mentality. That's not a negative thing. We needed to learn the slave mentality. We needed to learn the mentality of being of other. So there is a process where a person puts himself. The goal is to focus on oneself. So Rav Dessler sees that the economy of the world is divided between givers and takers. Taker is that one of the person is I am, and therefore I have a right to get, and I want to take to myself. But to be assertive, the starting point is this nakuda of I. Nebuchadnezzar writes that Gaiva is the via voice of all of the Midas Rose, because Nebuchadnezzar he has a section between the Shorim and a section called Prokim. So in the Prokim, he writes that Gaiva is the via voice of all the Tumim, and he doesn't explain why, but I think if I could put my two cents into what I think he means, all the Midas Rose start with the word I. I'm angry. I want. Right? They always start with the word I. So before you get to the other Midas, you have to start with there's something about me which I have a right to have expectations, I have a right to demand, I have a right to get. It's all about me. It starts with the word I. And then you get to the next step. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, his two epithets, which we have from him, he's B'chol Beis Neman Hu, that he's Adam Mikol Adam, and his final title, when the Rosh Hashanah comes, after Moshe Rabbeinu's Nifta, he comes to Yeshua, and he's now saying, okay, Moshe died. He doesn't say Moshe died, he says, Moshe Avdi Meis. Moshe is my Eved. So, the definition of Moshe is he was able to reach the Madrega of total submission.
Of what?
That Madrega of total submission started here by Bignas Gol Mechavera. The Yisrael Bignas Gol Mechavera doesn't mean that I empathize. It's that I learn to see the world through your eyes. And when I see the world through your eyes, of course I'm going to empathize. But Sabishlama, that I can empathize to somebody else's difficulties. So it's a difficult thing. So something which I've experienced myself, or something similar to it, I can sort of extrapolate. I know what it feels like if it happened to me, so I can probably imagine you're going through the same feelings. So I understand how bad that feels, so I empathize with you. A person goes through experience that I've never experienced. The person who's rich, was born in the lap of luxury, doesn't really understand what poverty is. No, he sort of intellectually understands that there's poverty, you don't have what you need. But the emotions, what it means to be impoverished and not know where your food is coming from, not sure you're going to have where to live, and worried about the safety of your children, and what's going to be. And the feeling of being crushed, the emotions of being crushed, that I'm a nobody, I'm not successful, and people look down on me. All those emotions, he has no idea. He never experienced them. So how's he supposed to empathize? He doesn't get it. So what do you want from us? If we would argue that there are, let's say for argument's sake, there are 1,000 different experiences a human being can experience in their lifetime, different type of challenges, the average person gets 50 of them. So how's he supposed to empathize with the person who gets number 724? I never experienced that. But we're saying that you're supposed to be able to do that, because if I can learn to see the world through your eyes, so that I can see it, I can understand your emotions. I'm seeing it as you would see it. Well, how do you do that? When you take the ani out of the picture, you can see somebody else. The Velt says, you know, what's the difference between a window and a mirror? The only difference between a window and a mirror is there's the silver on the back of it. You put the kesef on the back of it, so then you see yourself. When you take the kesef out of it, you see somebody else. I'm just seeing you as a reflection of me. So Rav Elbe has a fascinating thing. He has in Ali Shur Chayla Beis. He starts talking about the meat of Chesed. So he says the first homework he gives to the Chabura is not to do anything. Just spend 2 weeks understanding people's needs. He says they come back after 2 weeks, so they give a report, he says. And basically, people reported that everybody else basically has needs which mirror their own. He says, you didn't get it. You didn't understand somebody else. You just basically took yourself, reflected yourself off all these people, and assumed that they have the same feelings as you. So you're not understanding somebody else, you're understanding yourself. And assuming everybody else is just like you. That's not chesed. That's not the foundation of the chesed that the Torah wants. The Torah, every mitzvah, every mitzvah, the Baruch Hashem's Haga, everything which the Torah is inculcating into us, is to address all of the different experiences of mankind. So I want to understand, what is the Torah being mechazik over here, teaching over here, addressing over here? Well, the Torah is addressing 1,000 different experiences, and I only have had 50. So how can I understand Torah? I don't get it. I don't understand Torah. I understand this little window of how Torah applies to me. Because, you know, I see how the Torah has helped me, how it's affected me, how it's changed me. So I'm not just, you know, I have the knowledge of information of the Torah, that's the Chochmah. I have Bina, which means I understand the Lumdis and I can apply it to the Tzibur. But I have Das. Das means that I become Yisachid. As Rashi says, the lotion of the being together in an intimate way is called das. It means it's an intimate understanding. It's not just I get it intellectually. I really get it. So it means my whole being connects to it. That's das Torah. So my whole being connects. So how do you get das Torah? How can you connect to something which you have no idea what it's talking about? You can read about it. You understand it intellectually, but it's not das. What I've experienced, I see how the Torah affects me and mechazik me and helps me and impacts me, changes me. I get it in my bones. That's das. What about everything else? Well, it depends. If you see the world through everybody's eyes, all of the eyes of the world, and you're able to take yourself out of the picture and see the world as they see it, you understand all of the experiences of the world. And you understand how the Torah addresses all those experiences. But if you're stuck within your own Dalet Amos, you don't get the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the individual who's going to be the vehicle to give Torah to every member of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is given the meat of Noisim Olam Chaveru, or he's develops in himself the meat of Noisim Olam Chaveru. That's going to means he's able to see the world from their vantage. Then he's able to see the Torah from their vantage point as well. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Har Sinai, was given to understand every Hiddush that will ever be in the Scottish by any Barbe Rav, any individual, any yeshiva, from Mount Torah till Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught it in Har Sinai. So you're a Mechavan to Gaval, the Gavort, and says, wow, Mamash, nobody ever said this before. That's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was heard in Har Sinai. And your goal is not to be Mechavan to something nobody heard. Because that's really not good. You want to put something that somebody did hear. Moshe Rabbeinu heard it before. Right? Because if you come with something Moshe did not hear before, isn't it good? So how's that shaykh? How can Moshe Rabbeinu... What should a person mechadas afford? Right? Well, you know, he's smarter. No, he's not smarter. Right? The person made each person unique because that gives them their window of understanding, their insight, and their way to chop this point of Torah. They chop a message which nobody else chops because their unique vantage point allows them to see it. Moshe Rabbeinu copped that already before. I is not that person. The answer is he doesn't see that person. He's able to see the world through their eyes as well. So the Mishnah says that you want to be kind of Torah. The Torah is yours. So then we flip it on and call what's called Das Torah. That the person, when he speaks, he's speaking with authority of Torah because the Torah is his. Without Noisim Olam Chaveru, you can't do that. I have to see the world, see how you understand. So I think that the point over here, that when we're describing Moshe Rabbeinu, giving his, the Torah is giving his us his credentials, why he deserves to be the Goel Yisrael. We're giving him his credentials, why he has to, how he could be the person who's be the Noi Senator. Because it's the same credentials. If anything, maybe it's even more important for Matan Torah than it is for Gula. The Moshe Rabbeinu sits in his palace and he chops the pain of somebody. He chops what it means that a person is impoverished and enslaved. I mean, you don't get it. There's a nothing ain't no v'liboy. He put his eyes and his heart. Means he saw, but he absorbed it into his heart. He understood it. He got it. My wife and I did a Let Us Eat program, or not Let, but dealt with another couple to Dayton, Ohio, 1994, I'm not sure, because that, we went 2 years. So the rabbi over there was this young, this Baal Tshuva, brilliant fellow, Talmid Chacham, small kahila. But he had, you know, he was doing outreach and he was really connecting to people, etc. Beautiful. And he asked us if we would be willing to do a session on Shalom Bayis. I said, okay, why not? We'll do a session on Shalom Bayis. So when we get there, we see like the whole way he had built it. So it was going to be at this neophyte room couple in their fancy neighborhood, you know, with all of their young friends who are not from yet coming. And the title of the session was Love Jewish Style. Everything you wanted to know, a free-willing discussion about everything you wanted to know about love, dating, and marriage. My wife and I look at each other and says, you know, one second. This is, we're from Telz Yeshiva. This is not exactly what we expected. This young couples, you know, not from, discussing, free-willing discussion about love, dating, and marriage. So we decided that the best defense is a good offense. Mm-hmm. We better have a very clear goal of what we want to do with this before we start. And we should take control of the crowd. So when we got there, what we did was we gave everybody an index card and a pencil, like 15 people, something like that. And we said, okay, you know, you go to the store and they have these little cards that say happiness is, and it says dot, 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 and it says something on the bottom, you know, a warm cocoa on a hot day, you know, like, you know. Says, okay, everybody, fill in the blank. Marriage is. And we gave everybody a few minutes to fill in the blank, the cards, marriage is. Then we went around, we collected the cards, we read the answers. Then we gave our answer. It says, marriage is an opportunity to become a nosei. Because if the world was all about givers and takers, so a bucker, his focus basically is self-focused. Even the dating process is fascinating to me. The dating process is a broker goes to the dating process looking for what's good for him and what he would want and how he wants to build his home. It's all this word I. And he gets married, all of a sudden he has to take care of somebody else and think about somebody else. It's a totally different direction. Like, you know, all my goals are what I want and then what I. No, drop all of that. Forget it, my friends. But what are you giving? What are you giving? So the most difficult thing to give is your mind. Most of our thought processes go along the lines like this. Listen, you know, we're humble, you know, and we don't know everything, etc. But deep down, we believe we probably understand it better than the person across from us. So they have a discussion, you know, and the wife's all emotional, and the husband's all logical, or vice versa, depending on some, you know, some matter of the opposite, right? The deep thing that, you know, I hear you, but the mice, logically, it doesn't make sense what you're saying. So I say nice things about, yeah, I understand your emotions, you know, but deep down, you're wrong, right? Because I see the world in the logical way. That's not marriage. Marriage is when you learn to see the world through somebody else's eyes and realize that maybe they're seeing the world correctly. Maybe the right way to see the world is through emotions, not through logic. Hechatesis is through logic. Who told you? Because it's more logical. That's called circular reasoning. I'll prove to you it's important to see the world through logic because it's more logical. But how do you know logic is the correct way to see the world? Maybe the correct way to see the world is through feelings. Because it's not logical. That's if we admit to ourselves, we are as illogical as the other person, because mehechataisi. Well, because it makes more sense to me. Oh, good. So the bottom line, it makes more sense to you. So it's all about how you see the world. Like you're God's the final gift to mankind about how the right way to see the world. Really? There's somebody else who sees the world who's just as valid or more valid than you. So, Mamash, you have to give away the most basic part of your being. You're giving away to somebody else. You're saying it's not about my being, my understanding, my independence, and I'm giving it to somebody else. Because that's our most basic definition of ourselves is us. And our experiences and our understanding defines how we see something. And now someone says, no, you got it all wrong. So of course we resist it. And the Russian says, I want to give you somebody who's going to do that for you 24/7, 365. Constantly push you to make you understand. So now you have a child. So there's the parents who, their thought is, I get the world, my kid doesn't get the world, and let me explain it to them. I love my children, I'm going to help them understand the world. Then the parent says, you know what? Maybe my kid sees something that I don't see. Maybe he's smarter than me. Maybe he cops something I don't cop. Maybe, even if, yes or no, but let me see how he's seeing it and seeing why it's difficult for him to accept what I'm saying. Let me get into his eyes. Well, where'd you learn to do that? With your wife. Because now you can do it with your kids. So that's what it means, Noisibel Mokhavera. I get to see the world through somebody else's vantage point. Then I can truly connect to them. And I can truly teach them. That I could do it as part of a community, as part of a Klal Yisrael, as part of the world. Because I can see where the other person is coming from. Our society is, at this point, is the total antithesis of this reality. Right? You have conversations which are two monologues all the time. Because the person doesn't see the other person. The person don't see where the other person is coming from. They can't admit there's possibly another way to see something. And of course they have the echo chamber, which allows them to be convinced that they're right. And that's it. It's horrible. There's no growth. There's no expanding your horizons. It's not expanding. So Torah is a vehicle is to teach you to understand all of the different ways of seeing something. And how we would have to learn with the Harusa. Learning Harusa is the most wonderful thing in the world. Rav Elbel writes that the Bachrim should not work on Gaiva, because they need Gaiva. They shouldn't try and suppress their Gaiva, because they need Gaiva. They believe that they're going to accomplish, etc. They have to really have a certain amount of Deus. I'm going to become something. I'm going to accomplish something. Otherwise, why try? You start doing the math. There's 100,000 yeshiva bachrim out there. I'm going to become the big one and really know something. Really, I mean, who are you kidding? No, but I'm special. I'm a guy. That's what Jewish mothers are for. We mentioned, to tell you why you're wonderful, so that you can believe in yourself. Said, but you can't have gaiva. It's a horrible thing, gaiva. Says gaiva is addressed by we address gaiva by three things. Says address gaiva in tefillah. Tefillah is the whole process of tefillah is lowering oneself, recognizing you're not Kodesh Baruch Hu, is it? It says Shem Shemit Chachamim, when you see a gadol and you're mevatel, you're das to him. It says, and learning with the Harusa, which is maybe the most relevant. It says, you learn with the Harusa. I mentioned this before. You learn with the Harusa, so you have your pshat, and he has his pshat. And you go back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, not just screaming each other. You challenge it more, and you ask questions, you bring rayas, you bring proofs, you bring rayas and proofs, and you answer, etc. After now, you realize that he's right. So what do you say? I hear. Say Baruch Hashem. Now we know Pshat in the Gemara. Thank you very much. It teaches me Pshat in the Gemara. Well, because it's about me. That's I can't say you're right. I can't get the words out of my mouth. It's just too painful. So I can say I hear. No, okay. It says that's where you work in your guy. It says yes, you're avoided. We're still not the right. It's Tarly Shmo means to work with. We call the meaning of gift. The gift means intense fighting, intense passion. I see my Pshat in the Gemara. I see why I'm right. You ask me Kasha, I work to figure out. I don't say, okay, I hear Kasha, I'm stuck. No, you say, no, I come up with the Teretz. Meanwhile, I clarify the point a little bit better. You challenged me again, so I clarified a little better. You asked another question. I realized certain points I have to modify, I have to remove, and we keep getting closer and closer to the emes. We go on this for hours and hours. Eventually, I realize that you're right. You say, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much for teaching me the emes of Torah, because my goal wasn't me; it was the Torah. So you say, thank you. I appreciate it so much. I'm so happy I have a Harusa who teaches me the emes. We would dafka learn b'charusa, because I'll say there's a punishment, there's a destruction of a person who doesn't learn b'charusa, because no man has all the answers. You need b'dafka to do it in a way that somebody's going to challenge you and see it from a different vantage point and be mimed you on the emes. So I learn, and as I'm talking to you, if I can learn to see that, you know, there's another way of looking at Gemara. Hey, one second, maybe he's right. I see what he's seeing. I see what his angle is. I see that's the meat of Noisibel and Chaver. I can get into your mind, into your eyes, and see how you're seeing the Gemara from your understanding, where you're coming from. And then Mamid Ola Emes. Sometimes I can correct you. Sometimes you Mamid Ola Emes. So that's Anhaga, which we have daily. We have this Anhaga, which Moshe Rabbeinu was given. We're doing a different expression of that every time you live with the Harusa. It's an opportunity to learn to see the world through somebody else. Marriage is another opportunity. Interacting with the Chavar is another opportunity. I'll explain it. I care about him tremendously. I feel his pain. But I don't get what's bothering him, really. No. So it means you don't. You're still stuck on yourself. It's a Gwaldi Madrega to get to, but it's a tremendous avoider. But this is the avoider which we need to Makabal Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the individual which the Rambam says the Russia made him special, that he was able to reach the Madrega of to be B'chol Beis Yinemenu, that he's the Onam Mikol Adam, and therefore this Pashat he Kamamish see every different facet of how the Torah is supposed to be understood from then till the days of the world. Every Talmud, the Vortech, Mechadish, Moshe Rabbeinu can see it from that person's angle as well. So he had all of Torah. He's able to give all of Torah over to Klal Yisrael. Okay.